One of my favorite things to do in my free time is play board games. All kinds of games, from the traditional Clue to party games like Apples to Apples, to complex cooperative strategy games, to the point that I even go out on Saturday nights to the game store, and that's my night out. Besides being social, my favorite part about playing games is learning and enforcing the rules. I'm that game player. Constantly questioning if someone is doing the right thing, if they're cheating. Did they understand the rules right? Let me see the rule book, please. To the point that the game might not be enjoyable anymore. I like rules. And I like to enforce them because it gives a sense of power, of control, that sense of almost a little bit of ego. Like, I'm in charge. I have the rules. I know how it should be. So it's not that hard for me to identify with the church leader in today's scripture from Luke, or Mr. McBee and Miss Merriweather. In our scripture, Jesus calls the church leaders hypocrites. And so the first thing we kind of think is that, well, the leader, he was the bad one. But he's not bad. In fact, when we look back at the time, he was following the law. He was following what he was taught in Deuteronomy, that the Sabbath is a day of rest. He was doing his job and voicing exactly what society was saying was correct. No work on the Sabbath. He was still being faithful. For the leader, he's not a mean-spirited man, but he's trying to press his case for why he's being faithful. At the same time, we also have Jesus being faithful, and he's trying to press his case. Our church leader is so worried about what the law itself says and how it should be carried out that he's forgotten the spirit of the law, the reason for Sabbath. He's kept his view of the law to a narrow understanding and ignored God's expansive, unconditional love and grace. And that's what Jesus is calling him out on. When have we been that person? I know I have, and not just in the games. As an individual, it's easy for us to focus so much on the law when we look at a criminal that we focus on the law and not the justice. We focus on the crime and not the person. The law becomes more important than someone's humanity. We become so afraid of the risks of following what Jesus tells us to help the hungry and the poor and the downtrodden, and to speak and talk and interact with those on the outside, that we let the fears rule instead of participating in Jesus's and God's expansive love. We're almost just as guilty in the church of doing the same thing. So often we hear the phrase, oh, we have to do it that way. That's tradition. We've always done it that way. We've done it that way for so long that we forget why we've done it that way. We forget the Spirit. We forget God being active within the church, within the tradition. Whether it's the individual or the church, there is still that feeling of power and control. It's kind of addicting. And so when we come to Luke and we come to Jesus, and this moment in the scripture, it's not the first time that Jesus has been healing on the Sabbath in Luke. Throughout Luke, Jesus has been healing on the Sabbath. It's a larger part of his mission. The mission to teach us how to be God's disciples, to teach us how to live to God's will. Now, Jesus isn't abandoning or abolishing the Sabbath when he talks to the church leaders. He's expanding it. He's not saying anything goes, but rather being obedient to the law and interpreting it differently. I don't always love rules. I do in games, but not necessarily in the world. Sometimes it seems like they serve no purpose. Sometimes it seems like they're just plain dumb. And sometimes it seems like they benefit the enforcer more than the person that's supposed to follow them. Then I like to break them. I like to point out why they don't quite work. I like to point out why they could be better. And that's what Jesus is doing in our scripture. He's expanding the law of Sabbath. Now, our scripture in Isaiah is important in this because we have to remember that Jesus was still a Jew. Jesus grew up with Isaiah scripture and is living into Isaiah scripture in this moment. The words we heard today from Isaiah tell us how to live and be Sabbath. Or more importantly, they tell us what not to do. Don't pursue your own interests on my holy day. If you call it a delight and honor and call the Lord honorable, if you honor it, you're not going your own ways. You're not serving your own interests. You're not pursuing your own affairs. You're honoring God and following God's call. And by healing the woman, Jesus is reminding us that it is more important that women and children and those who are sick and outcast to be healed, not to make them wait until the next day. Our readers who first read Luke knew that the Sabbath law wasn't so much about resting, but was about commemorating and celebrating Israel's liberation. It was a day for enacting freedom, not limiting it. Jesus reminds us that there are exceptions to the rule. The poor, the hungry, the sick. When we say, no, you have to sit in your poverty, in your sickness, for another day and come back on a specific day, we're limiting people, not freeing them. Sabbath is not just a day of rest for the people of Israel, it's a day of promise. Richard Swanson wrote in his review of Luke that Sabbath is welcomed into the house as a queen would be welcomed. Sabbath provides a foretaste of the culmination of all things, a glimpse of God's dominion, a little slice of the messianic age dropped into the midst of regular time. Sabbath is God coming to us, God breaking into our world, God breaking into our timing, God calling us to live into our lives. Sabbath is a good thing. It is a gift from God. It is a sign of resistance that God's people resisted against tyrants of every sort and every time. Back then and still today, we are called to offer God's resistance, to lift up God's promise in the midst of unpromising circumstances. Looking at the woman for just a moment, maybe we identify more with her than the church leader. Maybe we've not had the physical burden, but maybe some mental burdens weighing us down, stress, fear, hopelessness, being bombarded by bad news again and again and again. Feeling anxiety so strong that as if there is a physical weight on our shoulders. Jesus recognizes the woman. He talks to her, honors who she is, and frees her to live her life. In those moments when we have those burdens, when we feel like we can't get up, we are called to remember God's promise, to remember God's will for how we're to live in the world. We're called to remember the promise that God will free us to live into who God calls us to be, to break free from the fear and anxieties that society tells us we should have and focus on God's call. We've kind of been saying that for the past 2 months that I've been here. God's call will free us. God's call will teach us how to be disciples, and each week we've been looking at a different part of it. Rules can and are beneficial in life. They can keep people safe, keep order, create fairness, and free the oppressed. But they can also just as easily be used to grab power, control those who are different, and enforce oppression. Living in St. Louis during Michael's death and the Ferguson riots, and being active, I saw both how the law can be used to oppress. And as seminarians, we were called to stand with those who were being oppressed, to call attention to where the rules weren't working. As disciples, we are called to look at rules and laws of society and figure out, are they expressing God's will? Are they expressing expansive love, restorative justice, grace? Or are they oppressing and limiting others? We are called as disciples to expand and make exceptions to the rule. And when we do that, when we live into God's call for us, we open space for all to be present, all to be free, all to live in God's kingdom here on earth today. Amen.